Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And I welcome you to this program for July 28, 2019. We're going to look at maybe Greg is wrong. Maybe many things. We're going to look at maybes. I get a lot of emails on the subject of how do you know you're right, or, you know, your philosophy doesn't mingle with mine or whatever. I've never heard anything like this, things like that. Or the classic one, it's too hard. So we'll talk about that. I want to remind you that these radio programs, as well as our TV programs, are made available to you only because of the contributions that our sponsors make to make all this possible. They give a donation quarterly or monthly to serve you in many, many ways. We owe them a debt of gratitude, as it were, as they say. Gratitude for their sponsorship, but more for their vision and understanding as to what Aspire is all about and what the world truly needs, what it would really help them, and their contribution to make a change in this world. Ever so slightly a change, but still a change. After all, you're listening to this radio program, aren't you? And you wouldn't be listening to it if it weren't for their kindness, their support, their generosity. I hope that you will consider being a sponsor and helping us sustain our radio and TV efforts here on Aspire. And you can do so by joining them, becoming a sponsor. It's a very simple process. You get a lot of wonderful goodies for being a sponsor, the message of the month, access to my podcast, video cast, and commentaries, all of them. Also access to all of my TV discourses, some 122 of them, on all sorts of subjects that relate to spiritual awakening. They were all there. Nobody likes you anyway, being one of them. the sound of one hand clapping. There's so many. I can't even name them all. There are so many. So they're all there to serve you, to help you, to awaken you to the fact that the greatest beauty that ever lived lives within you. And that's really what it's all about, love, the big L. So I hope that you will consider being a sponsor. If you go to the website at aspire.org, you'll see support there in the middle of the page. If you click on it, a drop-down menu will ensue, and it says, why support Aspire? And you can read that. It will tell you everything you need to know about, or maybe afraid to ask about, Aspire and how to become a sponsor. The word maybe, it casts doubt. Doubt about, well, just about anything. Doubt about, well, maybe this is good, maybe it's bad. It's an interesting word, maybe. But I hear a lot of it when I'm receiving emails and comments by viewers and listeners. So I thought it would be fun to talk a little bit about the maybes. And that's what our program's about today. First one comes from Todd, and he lives in Northern California. That's all he said. He said, maybe, Greg, you're all wrong. And you are perpetuating one more lie, one more myth. What do you think, Todd? Well, Todd, that could be said of any of us. It could be said of you. It could be said of religion, of politics. Deception is not my motivation. I am not trying to gather people into my clutches. I am not trying to be a, what do we want to say, an authority figure on what I'm talking about. I am offering you simply an alternative to conventional thinking, to conventional thought, to the pedestrian mentality. I am not trying to be a spokesman politically, socially, or religiously for anyone or anything. I'm giving you some insight. So the motivation that I work from is to help make a change in this world. And maybe that comes with person to person to person. At least that is my gender, my authenticity, my life effort, the gender of my work. It is not about trying to perpetuate myth or perpetuate myself or to perpetuate a philosophy. I am only interested in one thing, that you have the chance to awaken spiritually, that you have a chance to understand the nature of your heart, that you have a method, a means to go out into this world and maybe make changes with your lifestyle, the way you live it, and maybe help others, pass it along to other people, and make an effort to do something noble in your life. If you start to look at your living, you're either for or against. That's the gender, in my opinion, of thought, the gender of intent. You're either this or you're that. People always have, Todd, in the background of their conversations, need for persuasion. I am not trying to persuade you. And if I sound like I am, it might be in your ears and not necessarily my intent. What I'm trying to do is offer to you that which is, in my opinion, very obvious. But your ears, as well as my voice, are subjective. Subjective to whatever it is that is the subject matter of our experience in this world. So if I am experiencing doubt and fear, anger, pride, vanity, if I am looking out only at myself and what I want in this world or what I think I want, and that's all that matters to me, I'm going to have many issues. And maybe I'm all wrong to your ears. To me, Todd, it is not about wrong. I don't have a righteousness complex. I really don't. What I teach here, what I offer in all of my programs, radio and TV for 47 years, 48 years, is not something that is to persuade you to come over to my side, because I don't have a side. I am showing you what is clearly obvious to me, to my understanding, to my spirituality, to the depths of my heart. I am just showing you that which is going on within me and what I have found in my many years of helping people or trying to help people. I am not here to tell you I am the way, the truth, and the light, because I'm not. I don't look at myself that way. I am giving you information. And then if you're wise, you hear that information and you consider it. Now, you may want to explore it or not, but no matter what, I have planted a seed within you. I've met a lot of confused people in my day, Todd. I really have. From the people I have served as a teacher to friends and colleagues, and everybody is very, very convoluted these days. More convoluted, I think, than ever before, with racism being popular in our country and hate and fear being popular in our country. We've turned into a place that is not the intent of what our forefathers probably wanted for us. I'm really reaching on that one. I don't know really what they wanted, but they were hypocrites too, just like we are. There's no difference. So when you start to look at a person's life, when you start to look at the meaning of a person's life, maybe none of us are what we say we are or promote. So I don't look at promoting myself in that way. I look at myself as, oh, this is what I found. I have found a great deal of convolution in people, a great deal of pain and sorrow in people, a great deal of unkindness. And the only answer I have found in my direct experience is love. Now, most people are not interested in love. They're interested in their form of love, but not love itself. And that's a huge, huge issue. Huge. I can't even tell you how big that is. It's a huge issue. And because love is the issue of our life and we are not much interested in love, I try to offer you simple means and methods to help you understand spiritual awakening and that whole deal. But, you know, most people are chained to their genetics and their DNA, and they don't go any further than their genetic urges and their DNA. So you live in a body that is nothing but pure science, DNA. It has to do with chemistry and the chemicals running all through your body. And you can live your life the way you choose to live your life in those chemicals, and that's what most people do. And then they find they're very disappointed as they grow older in the way the world turned out, the way people turned out, but they are never quite going to admit they're very, very unhappy with how they turned out. They just won't admit it. But there are a lot of people who aren't very happy with how they are. I don't know about you, Todd. Maybe you think I'm all wrong. Well, all wrong about what? I'm not. You mean about looking into yourself, about personal exploration into the nature of love, of what you are, of the way we live our life in the panorama of stupidity and pain and sorrow that creates the world's sorrow? Well, maybe I am. But maybe, just maybe, I'm not. Jesus said something thousands of years ago that I always thought was very interesting. He said, we take what should be first and we make it last. And we take what should be last and make it first. The last on your list should be doubt, fear, and hate. The first on your list should be love, compassion, and forgiveness, mercy. That's all I'm teaching. And if you think that's all wrong, that's all wrong for you. Thank you for being brave enough to offer this question. I think it was very kind of you, Todd. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next question is from Rod, and he lives, let me see where I saw this, New Mexico. Maybe we don't need to awaken, as you say. Maybe none of this is necessary, but just pure survival, Rod. Rod, it's in the components of living for the sake of pure survival that we find tremendous pain and sorrow in our life. We get ruthless. When I am only in my survival modality, the only thing that I have at my disposal is my ruthlessness. I have only one thing that I have to deal with, and that is the lack of mercy. And I remove myself from the mercy that eventually I'm going to need in my life to live a more conscious living. This is very difficult for most people to understand. Conscious living means merciful living. So you're saying maybe you don't need to awaken spiritually. No, maybe you don't. Maybe this isn't your lifetime to do this. Maybe this is your lifetime to trundle through and in and out of your body, acquiring all sorts of karma in your life, developing a more resistance to the nature of authentic love. And maybe this is all your life is meant to be in this world via you, via your hand. Maybe you're going to be a part of the collective, a part of the legions of human beings that just live purely by the biology of their skin, and that's all they live for and by, and that's the end of it. And there are millions and millions of people that would attest to the value of this or the righteousness of it, let's put it that way. But I am not one of those people. I'm one of those people that does not march to the tune that humanity marches to. I'm not one of those people that believes in right over wrong, good over bad, or bad over good, or wrong over right. I'm none of those things. I am much more looking at the alchemy of living. What is it that is the makeup of living? And what is it that I contribute to in this world? Most people don't contribute very much to their daily lives. They don't contribute anything past their fear, their anger, their self-hatred, their selfishness, their pride, their vanity. Most people don't do anything like that. They don't go very far. And why? Because the fear. There's two fears that people have. The second fear, the least of their fears, is death. Because death looks welcoming. We like death. We have a lot of TV programs and movies about killing. You see it in the news every day. I can't imagine taking another person's life or killing them, but people do. And frankly, you know, it's a response from the human body for the sake of DNA survival of the fittest. And we haven't kind of gone very far in our evolution. We're, in fact, not evolving at all. This first and most foremost of fears in a human being is loneliness. This I have found. And maybe you don't need to understand that, as you say. Maybe you don't need to awaken to this, as I say, because you don't want to consider that you might be subject to the fear of being alone. People don't want to admit many things, so they don't. They just live on the way they live on in the fears and the hate that accompanies their fears. But the basic fear is you would be alone. Now, you have to look at that and ask yourself, well, maybe he's right. Maybe I do fear loneliness. And maybe that's the reason why you don't want to awaken, because there won't be a lot of people with you. Believe me, there won't be. The collective is very strong now. It's stronger now than I have ever experienced before. We're in that Kali Yuga stage where everything is hard. It's metal. It's rock. It's stone. It's difficult. So here we are in this pedigree of stupidity that we like to be in, of spiritual indifference, and we think we can pass through this world or gain in this world power and prestige and become maybe immune to the whole idea of what other people are going through in the form of their suffering, but we can't. We create our suffering because of our spiritual indifference. And people don't want to deal with themselves very well. They don't want to deal with their life and what goes on in their livingness. They don't want to deal with it. They want something quick, fast, and easy. And there is no quick, fast, and easy. What do you think this life is all about, Rod? Do you think we're just here to drink beer, eat French fries, watch sports, become involved in hatred and through politics? You think that's the sum and substance of our life? You think it's about making babies that you're not equipped to raise? Do you think it's about finding someone to, quote, love, end quote, so you can get off sexually with them and that's about the end of it and never goes any further than personal love, maybe awakening to the depth of love, the meaning of love? You think that's what it's all about? I don't know. I don't know you, but that's what the average person does. So I'm the voice of something that is beyond reason. I'm not a reasonable person. And what I teach is not reasonable. It is not for the reasonable. It's for the insightful. It's for the true seeker. It is for someone who is seeking the authentic. And if you're that kind of person, then I have much to offer you. If you're not that kind of person, if you don't live in that proclivity towards love, forgiveness, compassion, spiritual awakening, then I'm not your guy. And you can say what you will and be as indifferent to my messages as possible, but that isn't going to change where we live and the situation we live in this world. It isn't going to change one single thing about it. It just keeps going and going like that Energizer Bunny. And nothing will change until we do. I hope that serves you well, Rod. Please forgive me. Namaste. Next question and the last one. Maybe the world is meant to destroy itself. What do you think? Justin. He does not tell me where he lives. Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. I have my own personal insights for all of this. And my insight, and don't take this to the bank, my insight is that nature, the nature of this world, will not allow us to destroy it completely. Rather, we, as the source of destroying this world, will do it to ourselves, and we will be destroyed. The earth will eventually recover. The world will eventually recover, but without us. It doesn't need us, and maybe there will be colonies of people. I don't know. I really don't. But as Jesus said, in this world, there will always be wars and rumors of wars. And he was so correct. He was so correct. So I literally have my own personal things that come to me. But they're not for debate because, you know, as always, can't prove it. Can't tell you that it's absolute. Can't tell you it's written in stone because it's not. But if you start to look at things, you will start to see the way nature works is the way human beings work. And we are subject to nature no matter what we may think, say, or do. Our issues are the issues of compliance, harmony with love, with life itself, the big L, not the little L. But to find the meaning of life and the meaning of how this life operates, and then to cooperate with it by becoming harmonic with it. This means that we live a more conscious life. This means we are not trying to be separate from life itself, but rather we move in the harmony of living in this world, but not of this world. We need to bring that quality of mysticism into this lifetime to replenish it. We keep going the way we go merely because we're too cowardly to be kind. We're too fearful to be forgiving and merciful. We don't trust in the innate goodness of our own being because we're too busy trying to get what we want and believe what we think is right and blah, blah, blah. But you see, in an authentic spiritual practice, you're not following a religion. You are not following a philosophy. In an authentic spiritual practice, you are following love, compassion, forgiveness. You are quiet. You live in simplicity, solitude, and silence. And you are not trying to change other people. You are simply transforming yourself. Out of the genetic dispositions that we accrue through daily living and are influenced by so deeply through impulse. No, in an authentic spiritual practice, it is all about mercy. And we need it now in this world more than we ever have before. So when you start thinking about the meaning of your existence and the destruction of the world, we have to all ask ourselves, how far do we go in our life to change? I'm out of here. God, went fast, didn't it? Thank you for your question. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, there's another weekend for you. I hope that this was helpful to you in some way. Have a beautiful, beautiful weekend, and I'll see you next weekend. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.